Today's sermon is entitled, Can You Be Anybody You Want? And this is by a Unitarian minister, Eric Walker Wickstrom. He's a former worship and music resources director for the Unitarian Universalist Association and is currently the lead minister at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. He is an author of Teacher, Guide, Companion, Rediscovering Jesus in a Secular World, and Simply Pray, a Modern Spiritual Practice to Deepen Your Life. So here is his sermon, which I found interesting, and you will also, there are parts of it that are challenging. We have been saying the same words of welcome to and with one another for several years now. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, you have a place here. We all have a place here. We all are welcome here. At the end of this morning's service, we are going to sing together Fred Small's beautifully moving song, Everything Possible. And one verse from that song is, You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads. And know I will love you still. This song, which never fails to bring a lot of us to tears whenever we hear it, and our welcoming words express the sentiment that so many of us believe is the beating heart of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Ours is a tradition in which everybody, anybody is welcome. All are welcome here. But is that true? Is everybody welcome here? The classic challenge to this idea is asking whether a card-carrying, sheet-wearing member of the KKK would truly be welcome into this community. Just this past Friday, one of our members was talking to me about this very thing. He raised the question of whether someone who was wearing a shirt with no sense of irony, No More Immigrants t-shirt, would find a warm welcome here. Just as our tradition is often incorrectly described as one in which you can believe anything you want, the idea that everyone is welcome here is equally loving, is equally lovely sounding, and equally untrue. I'll come back in a moment to ask you if we actually want it to be true, but first I want to look at it some of the reasons it might be said so often. The Unitarian and Universalist traditions, the parents, if you will, that gave birth to our modern Unitarian Universalist faith, have a long history of valuing and reaching out to traditionally marginalized communities. One of the founders in 1874 of the Pennsylvania Society for the Abolition of Slavery was a Universalist Benjamin Rush, and in 1785, one of the signers of the Founding Compact of the first Universalist congregation in the United States, then called the Independent Christian Church, and now known as the Gloucester Unitarian Universalist Church, was an African-American man named Gloucester Dalton. After our history also includes the Unitarian President Millard Fillmore, who in 1850 signed into law the odious Fugitive Slave Act. It also includes the Unitarian clergyman, John Hays Holmes, who was a founding member of the NAACP. Universalist Linda Ann Jenkins and Olympia Brown were the first two ordained women in the United States whose ordination was recognized by a full denominational authority in 1858 and 1863, respectively. Suffragists such as Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton are part of our Unitarian heritage, and although their focus on women's rights came at the cost of attention to and support of liberation of people of color, we are also descendants of people who understood the connections, such as Julia Ward Howe, Lucy Stone, and Reverend Theodore Parker, a radical on women's rights and slavery, who often wrote his sermons with a handgun on his desk, ready, if necessary, to defend the lives of the runaway slaves who were staying that night in his cellar on their way to Canada and freedom. Dorothea Dix, who was an early and tireless advocate for the right of people with mental illness, Octavia Hill, who was a pioneer in the area of housing and education reform for the working class, and Lydia Maria Child, who, among other things, was a proponent of Native American rights. They were all led to their convictions and their activism for social justice by their Unitarian faith. In this century, the first ordained minister of any religious group in the U.S. or Canada to come out as gay was UU minister James Stoll in 1969. Unitarian Universalism was the first denomination to accept openly transgender people as full members with eligibility to become clergy. And in 1988, it was Unitarian Universalist Congregation that ordained the first openly transgender person in the United States. Although our faith tradition and those that preceded it do not have 100% sterling history, we have often been in the forefront of advocating for people who were marginalized and rejected by faith communities and by the wider United States society. Our Universalist ancestors avowed their beliefs in, quote, the supreme worth of every human personality, unquote, a way of looking at it and understanding the world that we live in today, and the UUA's first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. The French fashion designer and oft-quoted Coco Chanel famously said, "A girl should be two things, who and what she wants." Our Unitarian Universalist ancestors and our present Unitarian Universalist tradition would only disagree with the gender limitation in her sentiment. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, your presence here is a gift. We are all welcome here. You can be anybody you want to be, and know that I will love you still. This is one of the great gifts of our faith to the world. I remember the day, going on 20 years now, when I received a phone call from a woman who wanted to know if I would officiate at her wedding. She wasn't a member of our congregation. She wasn't a Unitarian Universalist. But she had been calling churches all morning to find one where she could be married to the love of her life. As soon as they found out that the love of her life was also a woman, church after church hung up on her. One even laughed before doing so. When I told her I'd be honored to celebrate their love, she wept. It has been and is still often virtually impossible to simply and freely and openly be who and what you want. Often it's not a matter of who you want to be. Our multiple and intersecting identities are most often not a matter of choice. It's who we are. The only choice is whether or not to be open about it. And too often, that's not really all that much of a choice either. Simply put, it simply isn't safe to simply be who we are in so many places. We know we've been taught, we're reminded in ways both large and small, both implicit and explicit, that we can't be both who and what we are if who and what we are deviates in any way from the straight, white, cis male, well-educated norm. So it is, I believe, one of our missions of the world as Unitarian Universalists to create a safe haven for those who have found themselves unsafe in so many other places. If South African Bishop Archbishop Desmond Tutu is right that the religious community should be an audiovisual aid for the sake of the world, showing the world how it could be, then it is one of our missions as a religious institution to show the world that each and every human personality, each and every person is born with worth and dignity. Whoever we are, whomever we love, however we express our identity. The way the world should be is one in which each and every one of us is welcomed and celebrated for who we are, who we really and truly are. And there's the rub. We can't really be this welcoming place if everybody's welcome here. It is a paradox inherent within much liberal thought that, quote, liberal implies an expansiveness which includes everything. Is that really a liberal community? Then everybody should be welcome here, right? Even that wear of the No More Immigrants t-shirt, right? Well, no, not right. At least not necessarily. I bet some of you may be feeling your stomach knot up a bit when you heard me say that. Maybe your heart's beating a little more quickly This is such a challenge to our usual self-understanding. Others may be feeling a sense of relief that we don't have to wrestle with how to be welcoming people that are hateful or those who are actively trying to hurt us. You might be feeling all sorts of things, but check in with what you're feeling when you hear me say that we are absolutely should not even try to be welcoming to everyone. That we should, in fact, intentionally exclude some people. One of the things that can be heard about being who and what you really are is that means being clear about who and what you're not. To really and truly, fully, authentically be ourselves, we have to resist the temptation to try to be everyone, to be everything to everyone. This is true for individuals, it is true for communities, it is true for nations. Look at our congregation and you can see how hard it is. We want to be welcoming. We think that it should means we should strive to be welcoming to everyone, no matter what. But we can't. We shouldn't even try. We shouldn't even want to, because there's a reason that not every place feels safe and welcoming to people who have traditionally been marginalized, because many places are full of the very people who have perpetuated and protected that marginalization. Do such people have inherent worth and dignity? Of course they do. They too descend from the stars and are intimately related to all that is. And there is a difference between a person and their behavior, their actions. We could make this distinction to say that everyone is welcome here, but not every kind of behavior. Some people have so bonded their beliefs and their actions that they are indistinguishable. With some people, you can't separate the two, and those people are not welcome here. Those people should not be welcome here, because if we do extend our welcome to them, we will be closing it off to others, or won't feel themselves to be welcome, which is really the same thing. I no longer say all are welcome here. Instead, just about every Sunday I say, and I found this interesting, we are a Unitarian Universalist congregation that welcomes all who welcome all. Semantics, perhaps, but words matter. And thinking carefully about what you say and the impact of your words may have is in itself a step toward greater justice. If we are to be true to our Unitarian Universalist principles and values, then we need to be a congregation that is sure enough about who we are, what we stand for, that we can be equally clear about who we are not and what we will not stand for. Not everyone should be welcome here because not every kind of behavior should be welcome here. And sometimes you can't discern the difference. You can't be anybody you want to be here, because there are some ways of being that are anathema to who we are, because we're committed to being a safe and nurturing place for those for whom there are so few, a place where we can sing that song that for so long was rarely sung and rarely very loudly. If you have felt unwelcome because of who you are, whom you love, how you express your identity, your situation in life, If you wish to make this community that strives to invite the uninvited, then we all have a place here. Ours is and needs to be a community that welcomes all who welcomes all.